fun. I love the lines in that song that he's the keeper of the stars and friend of the poorest heart.
I'm going to cry.
Because he's big, but he's tender, and he's intimate, and he's right there. My husband, now I'm back up. My oldest daughter ended up being this terrific English person. She's got... are you guys distracted because I'm not wearing shoes? No, you probably didn't even notice. Anyway, she's got a book in her, at least one or two, and she writes about her kids and just funny stuff that happens in our family. I took my husband into the computer last night and said, I want you to see some fruit of your life. And I started reading to him some of the posts that some of our children had put on their Facebook. I know, I'm... Okay. Use Facebook. Use it, okay? So I read him this one that my oldest daughter wrote, and he said, you have to take that and read it to the ladies. They'll like it. It has nothing to do with the teaching, but it's funny, so here it is. My daughter Laura wrote this, and she entitled it Shotguns Only in the City Limits. First of all, we come from California, and I was horrified when I first saw that sign when we moved to Maine, because we did hunt out there, and we are hicks at heart, but we weren't allowed to shoot in the city limits. You had to go out to the country, but then I realized that the city limits here are the country. Anyway, so this is what Laura wrote. I hope you like it. Some of our friends from other parts of the country credit the state of Maine for the rural disposition of my collected family. It isn't the state, it's the gene pool. My parents once recounted to me a tale of demolition from before I remember being part of the clan. It was a crappy house that needed to be torn down. Dad attached his Jeep to it and attempted to drag it down. The back wheels were off the ground. My mom assures me it worked, but the chain broke several times, becoming a very dangerous propellant. Their accountant drove up just in time to see the Jeep bucking wildly. It was the highlight of his year. They dragged the walls across the yard and set fire to them, and then grew concerned when the flames shot 20 feet into the air, right under the power lines. True story. My earliest memories of Mom fixate on her feet, which had calluses like you might see in National Geographic. She emailed me and said, can I post this? I said, yeah. Her heels had cracks the size of canyons in them. I was impressed. Mom could walk anywhere barefoot faster than city people could go in their shoes. She was young then, younger than I am now. Mom once hacked a rattlesnake to death with a shovel while she was huge with child. She was probably barefoot too. I've never measured up. I did once win a foot race barefoot through the woods against a male friend who had shoes on, though. It was a proud moment. There are loads of stories I could tell to demonstrate the country life I was born into, but I've settled on a fairly recent one that made me laugh. My sister Kelsey had a Bible college friend last summer from a large East Coast city. Being a city boy, he wasn't accustomed to shooting guns in the backyard, as my family often does. Early one morning, while he was there, my mom spotted a groundhog out in her paddock, which she thought was a grand target. She went in and woke my dad, who had been asleep. He stumbled out onto the deck, sat down, rubbed his eyes, took aim, and fired. The groundhog fell over after a short-lived death drama. The guest watched the scene with surprise, if not alarm. This is my life. This is how we live. So that's why I'm not wearing shoes. You're lucky I got socks on. On November 11th was Veterans Day, and got up that morning and picked up my one-year Bible, and I decided to read what it had to say that day. And I was given this one that was a new New Living Translation. And I read something that I had seen many times before, just in New American Standard, and it jumped out at me like it never had before. And it so touched me. I was reading it. I'd been praying about coming up here, and the Lord just showed me, that's what I want you to talk about. I want you to talk about hope. I want you to talk about encouragement. And anyway, I want to read a couple of verses out of Hebrews. The problem with the one-year Bible is that you got to figure out where you are. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 22. Out of the New Living. It says, well, actually, I'm going to start in 21. Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. That jumped out at me. True hearts, fully trusting him. I had asked my husband what he thought I ought to talk about, and he jumped right out and said, you need to talk about trusting the Lord. Because that's kind of been 2007, you know, and talking about, I'm so sick of the whole election thing. I want Jesus to come back. You know, we get disappointed with how that went, had some ups, had some downs, some heartaches. And through it all, the Lord's been just admonishing, encouraging, drawing us, coaxing us to trust him. And so that verse jumped out. Let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him, and then jump down to 23, without wavering. Let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have. Isn't that something, the way that's worded? Let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have. So we're going to let our actions match our words. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. I liked that. And then down in 35, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord no matter what happens. If that isn't a life verse to take on, I don't know what is. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. I just want to kick that around for a little while. Or chew on it. I guess I don't want to kick it around. Because we do that, don't we? We struggle to believe. Sometimes we struggle to believe the impossible, for sure. We struggle to reach the object of our hope. And hope, I've been reading some other, William Gurnall, by the way, great stuff he writes on spiritual warfare. He's one of those old dead guys, but he has this daily devotional. He's been talking a lot about hope. And, you know, if I asked you to define hope, you'd probably quote what it says in Hebrews, but that's a hard word to describe, to define. And anyway, this guy's been talking about that. We struggle to reach the object of our hope. It involves faith. It involves believing, and that's a choice. And we're exhorted here in this Hebrews passage not to throw that confidence away. I'm not going to be telling you guys any new things today. This is all going to be stuff you've heard before, and I'm doing it because I need to hear it. We need to hear it. The guy that wrote Hebrews tells us in the part that I skipped that we shouldn't be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the reason is so we can encourage one another. And we encourage each other about what truth is, that he is coming back very, very soon. And it doesn't matter who the president is. Our God is not in heaven wringing his hands. He is not distressed at the way Congress looks right now. He is not surprised at the legislation that's coming down. He's not surprised at all. He's not going, oh, we got to hurry this thing. He's not doing that. This is the keeper of the stars. This is the friend of the poorest heart, the guy, the God that lives in us. And he's asking us not to throw that confidence away. Not to throw the confidence away and the belief in his promises. That's the deal, you guys. Those are the things that sustain us, his promises. It's real easy to let that confidence slip away, isn't it? It is for me. It's real easy to let it slip away. To keep it, you need to be in the Word. How are you going to know the promises, to be reminded of the promises, if you're not eating them, partaking of them every day? Don't throw away the confidence in God, in his promises, and in his hope. He's not a liar, and he is coming back soon. Our pastor goes right through the Bible, and he just happened to start Luke. And he was in Luke 1, and that's the account of the angel coming to Zacharias as he was ministering in the temple. He was a priest. He and his wife were old, and they were barren. They did not have children. And then you go into the part of the story where the angel appears to Mary and tells her that she's going to be a Christ, the Christ bearer. She's going to be the one, the virgin, in whom the Holy Spirit plants that seed, and where the Messiah, that Christ child, grows in her womb. And those people, they had promises. In Luke 1, I'm just going to kind of be referring to part of it. It says in there that Zacharias was a righteous man, that he walked, and it says that he was righteous in God's sight. That's a big deal. That's way different than the righteousness that we see in each other's sight or how we see ourselves sometimes. He was righteous in God's sight, and it said they were righteous in God's sight, and they walked blamelessly, and yet here they were with this marriage-long heartache. No babies. Big deal. Big deal in that culture, big deal in that time. And it was his turn to be in the temple. They would go in, I guess annually, they would, the priests would take turns going down, and they would go in and offer prayers and burn incense for the sins of the people. And while he was in there, the angel appeared to him. You guys know the story. You've heard the story, I'm sure, over and over again. And the angel told him something that I found very precious. It jumped out at me this year. Because remember, he was there to pray for the people. But Hebrews has a lot to say about what a priest did, what his role was, and how Jesus Christ is that final great high priest. Well, this was before that, so they're still back in that time. And we read that every high priest taken among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sin as for the people, so also for himself. What that means is that Zacharias was righteous before God. He did walk blamelessly, but he was a man, and he had his own weaknesses. And so that priest would go in there and not only pray for the people, but he would pray for himself. Well, Zacharias snuck in some prayers of his own, because the angel said to him, "Your petition has been heard." Now, I don't know how old he was. I just know that we're told they're old. They're way past the bearing of children age. She's past menopause. And I wondered, was he still praying that prayer? I kind of think not. Because later we're told he didn't believe the angel. So even though he was righteous before God, righteous in God's sight, walked blamelessly, he still had a little bit of unbelief in there when it came to the promises. He knew what the scriptures said, that there was going to be a Messiah, and there would also be this forerunner. He was a priest. He knew the scriptures. But I found myself wondering if, you know, before, because he had to go to Jerusalem to do this, right? So I wonder if Elizabeth is like tugging on his robes as he's leaving the house, going, "Don't forget to pray. You know, you're going in there. Pray for the baby. Pray for the baby." I don't know if she was still doing that. I don't know if she was or not. I don't know if they stopped praying it. But I know that the exhortation we just read in Hebrews invites us not to stop praying for those things, not to stop hoping, not to stop believing. So they had this promise, the Jews, that there would be this Messiah and that there would be this forerunner. And these guys aren't even in the, they're not even in the running because they can't have babies. So here's Zacharias. And on a little side note, I love that he was still serving in his old age. He didn't say, you know, that recliner is looking really good. I'm tired. I have iron poor blood. You guys don't even know that commercial, do you? You're too young. Some do. He's still serving in his old age. And by the way, that is one of the promises you need to hang on to. You are not all washed up. Because we're told that those of us that fear the Lord, we're going to be bearing fruit in our old age. Scripture talks about people with white hair, with great hair, gray hair, great gray hair. The wisdom and the purpose of the elderly, and I mean that with all respect, the wisdom of years. The Lord has ministry for us until we take that last breath. And we're always surprised. You know, sometimes we define ministry as what only that Zacharias did, you know, that once a year going into that place. There's ministry to be had on Facebook, ladies. There, remember that where it said, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds? I cannot tell you how much I've been blessed in reading deep, rich scripture meat on Facebook. Your pastor's wife encourages me on Facebook. My daughters encourage me, and they don't even know I'm reading it unless I comment and go, wow, this is really cool. Think of ways. Don't get tired doing that. I know busy lives. I know the homeschooling. I know it's exhausting. But think of ways and ask the Lord to show you, how can I encourage the body? How can I encourage them to remember the promises? How can I encourage them to be encouraged? There's always somebody around you that needs to be encouraged, and we need to be better at that. So anyway, here he is serving in his old age. The angel tells him that his petition's been heard. Don't let go of the confidence of that promise. He, you know, even though he didn't believe, and that's why the angel struck him dumb, because he didn't believe, this righteous man had this moment of unbelief. He went home and was intimate with his wife at some point. I don't know. We don't know the details of that part of their life. But we know that God met them there, and that promise was fulfilled. Whatever it was that brought him to that place of unbelief, maybe it's simply his age. It's impossible. All things are possible with God. The next part goes into the Mary part. And Mary, too, wondered, how can this be that I'm a virgin and I'm going to not only get pregnant without being with a man, but bear the Messiah? How can that be? And the angel lets her know, or was it Elizabeth? Anyway, that God can do the impossible things, and he does. And we're not to let go of those things. It doesn't even matter what the circumstances are, what the impossibilities are, how much time has passed. God has heard your petition. He heard that when you prayed, however many years ago. That secret one nobody else knows about. He heard you, Terry. He knows it. And he doesn't forget those things. He doesn't. He heard you. He hears those cries, Lord, I feel like a dish rag. Please make me fruitful. He hears them all. And we're encouraged to believe those and not stop praying. And the beauty of the story is Zacharias was struck dumb for 9 months and 8 days, give or take a few days. It was interesting to me that he was still struck dumb when the baby was born. It was 8 days later when he finally walked in obedience. The whole town wanted to name the kid Zacharias, and the wife, who was ignored, by the way, said, no, his name's John. Oh, and we're not going to listen to her. There's nobody in your family named John. They go over to him, and he writes a note. His name's John. Boom, he can speak. What does he do first? He praises. He praises. So God asks us to believe, and then he asks us to obey what he has shown us in Scripture, those promises. You got to read them, though. How are you going to know what to obey? Zacharias obeyed. Mary obeyed. How much time had passed since the Messiah was prophesied in the book of Isaiah before he came? Israel was looking for Messiah. It didn't matter how much time had passed. You can be fruitful in your old years, and you can be fruitful in your young years. Mary was. She was a Christ bearer. And that's what the Lord is asking us to do with each other. The question is, how are we going to respond to those promises? You can either respond in unbelief. I don't recommend it. Or you can, with a quiver in your voice, tell the Lord, I believe. Give me the strength to obey. I choose to obey you. I will obey you. Yes, his name is John. Yes, Lord, be it done to me as you have spoken, as it was spoken of in your word. Joseph, he had vision, dreams from the angel, and he obeyed. He believed Messiah was coming, didn't think it was Mary, going to be Mary. The angel came, encouraged him. It says that he got up immediately. He went and got her, and he married her. When the scripture, I saw at least four different times where Joseph had a dream, and it says he got right up. He got right up, went to Egypt, got right up, came back. I love him. Not much is said about him, but this is a man who believed the promises. This is a man who obeyed the promises. And he got to see the fulfillment of that promise. Elizabeth, another cool lady. Now, Elizabeth, we're not told that she stopped believing. Elizabeth, her praise was this amazing thing, the statement she makes when Mary gets to her house and Elizabeth hears the greeting, and she cries out with a loud voice, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know what's cool? That was a bigger deal to her than that child in her own womb. She knew, she believed that Mary's child was her Savior. And that was a bigger deal to her than that long desire to have a child of her own. What a thing is that? That's a woman with good perspective. She responded with praise. She responded by responding to her husband when he approached her. And look at the blessing. We're told that the whole town celebrated with them. Everybody knew. And that was part of the prophecy from the angel, too, to Zacharias, that that there would be great gladness. And then Mary, look how she believes it, she obeys it, and look at how her praise, that whole massive section of scripture, 10 verses long, massive, 10 verses long, in Luke 1, where she, this whole Magnificat, you know, my soul exalts the Lord, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. This is probably a teenager. It doesn't matter what age she was. She believed the promises. She obeyed them. And she got to see the fulfillment of that. And she praised her God. That is what God is calling us to do in that Hebrews passage. Let us go right into the presence of the Lord with true hearts, fully trusting him without wavering. Let us hold tightly to the hope that we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. You know, that's the only way you lose it, you guys. You have to throw it away. It's a choice. if you're having trouble believing, you have a decision to make. It's that simple. You bow your heart before the Lord, your will, and you say, I'm going to believe this. I don't know how. I don't know how you're going to pull this off, Lord. But I know you can't be a liar, so I'm going to believe you. Nothing will be impossible with God. Be it done to me according to your word. Mary had heard of the word of God. Elizabeth had heard. Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. You guys, God has things he wants to say to you. He has a lot he wants to say to you. And you get it through his word. And you get to see the fulfillment of the promises. You know, hang in there. Hang in there. When you read these things, these promises in the word, receive them gladly. Receive them obediently, even if you're quaking in your boots. Faith comes by hearing. Is your faith weak? Read the word more. Hear the word more. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mary knew that promise. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew that promise, and so many others in the Bible. I love Hannah in the Old Testament, Samuel's mom. She prayed this amazing prayer too. These are mothers. These are just ladies. They're just ladies. In the middle of that Hebrews passage, the part I skipped, it talks about not forsaking the assembly. That pierced my heart, because there are times, I was convicted by that, there are times I stay home just because I don't feel like going. I don't have a reason. I can give you precedent why I don't, and I can give you that I have permission from this person or that person. But I've got to tell you, there are times I don't go just because I don't want to. And it's because I forgot that going isn't just about me receiving or me being blessed. Oh, I don't want to hear that band. I don't like their music. Or, you know, whatever. Like an old person. See, God wants to use me to bless you. And he wants to use you to bless me. We need each other. That's the deal. We're going to be with each other in eternity, and he has put his Holy Spirit in you, in every one of us, you guys, that are his. He is in us. We are Christ bearers, and we have something to say to each other that is encouraging. We have something to say to each other that will bless each other's heart. We have something to say that will help those little weak ankles be strong. We have something to say. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He doesn't just leave you alone and try to think of it. He'll tell you what to say. And I'll tell you, when I was a new believer, my girlfriend had just found out that her husband had been having an affair. And he gave her graphic details that just leveled her. And I remember, I was sorry every day because she used to watch my kids. And I remember feeling so inadequate. Like, what do you say to a woman like that? What do you say? I didn't know what to say. I just knew that I was young in the Lord. I didn't know a sermon. I didn't know a tape to give her. And I remember every day I'd go to her house and I'd pray on the way, Lord, I don't know what to tell her. You know, you got to encourage her. And I would just go in and I'd go, Jesus loves you. And I'd go to work, and then I'd come home at the end of the day and I'd tell her again and I'd leave. And she told me about a year later that she, have I told you guys this story before? She told me about a year later that she really wanted to get back at her husband. She was a believer. And she was seriously thinking about just going and having an affair, just so he would hurt as much as her. And she said, if one person had said to me some pious, she would have decked him and gone for it. She was kind of a tough broad, still is. She said, but there was that little sweet voice that just coming in there and just kept telling me how much Jesus loved me. I was floored. I left weeping that day because I thought, you got to be kidding me. I was looking for something deep and profound. How profound is that? How much more profound do we need? Do you know the depths of that, what he did? The cross, the splinters, the beating, the blood, the thorns. There's nothing more that he needed to do to prove that. That's enough to tell each other, you guys, if you can't think of one other thing. And please, especially the lady that you're mad at, the one you avoid, the one whose eyes you won't meet, she's the one you need to go tell. She'll probably say it back to you. Jesus loves you too. We need to think of ways to encourage one another to love and good deeds. That's the obedience we're called to in that passage. And then we need to praise. We need to praise. I'm gonna stop. I'm going to read those verses again, but before I do, I just want to tell you three words that just kind of jumped out at me. Believe, obey, and praise. It doesn't matter what you sound like. God put air in your lungs. Use every bit of it to praise him. Every bit. Shout to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Quote his scripture to yourself. Quote his scripture to him. Quote it to each other. He calls us to do that. We've been hearing about recession, hard times. I know we're feeling it. All that means, guys, is that the Lord's coming back. Don't get discouraged by that. Yes, it's hard. Even this passage, it says, let me back up a little. Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail. When all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew, and here's why. Here's how they could, you guys. People are losing their houses to foreclosure. They're losing their cars. They're losing their heat, their electricity. Here's how they can accept that with joy. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Put it in perspective. That's how you keep praising him. And that's how you have something to say to each other. It doesn't matter how tough your circumstance is. If you are a child of God, you have something to say to me that could encourage my heart. Because that's how God is. So without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. On your own, go home, ask the Lord, is there a promise you gave me a long time ago that I forgot about? Ask him to bring it back to you. If you can't think of one, if he doesn't show you one, then ask him for a new one, because there's lots in here. And write it down somewhere. Pray it. Pray it. One of the promises that I pray all the time is out of the book of Isaiah, and it says, the well-being of your sons will be great. That's a promise that's for me. It's also for you if you have sons. The well-being of your sons will be great. That's what I pray. Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the reward, the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. You guys, it could be before we get home. He could come today. A righteous person will live by faith. And that's the deal. He asks us to go right into the presence of God with true hearts that fully trust him. If you don't trust him, you need to get to know him better, because he can be trusted. You just need to know what his nature is like. He's not going to bash you because you don't trust him all the way. He's going to He's going to reveal himself to you.
And I pray that he would do that for you today.
We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing some Christmas songs, okay? Just a few. We'll get you home before too long. Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you that they're rich, that they are true, that you are coming back soon. Thank you for the body of Christ, for these women, Lord. Thank you for their undivided attention. I ask that you would pour your spirit out on them, Lord. I pray, Father, that your peace would surround them, that your grace would protect them. I pray, Father, that you would bless them. Open their eyes, Lord, to your promises. Open their eyes to the riches of your nature, of your glory. Lord, as this Christmas season is coming, I pray that we would be like little Mary, like Elizabeth, like Joseph, that we would believe you, walk in obedience in what you've shown, bear Christ to the world, and that we would praise you for who you are. That's what it's all about, Lord. Give us eyes to see ways that we can encourage one another in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.